broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Radio Show.
Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use and talk radio takes to the airwaves now. This is indeed the broadcast for December 21st in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject a revolution, but stand for the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Merry Christmas to you from us.
Oh, so homeless, homeless was his humble birth. He was homeless, homeless, and still he changed the earth. Nothing kept his heart from giving, though most of his life was living. Homeless, homeless, he showed it's how we live, not where.
When his homeless days on earth were done,
when his homeless days were done,
he went. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he taught us how to live. That's the key to hope, ladies and gentlemen, to live as he lived, to the best of our ability. No doubt we fall short. No doubt we're sinners, but you know what? We can change, we can repent, and what a better time to start than now, huh? I guess I should say there's not a better time to start than now. All right, hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. It's kind of tough the Christmas season over to report the hard-hitting news that's so negative many times, but to stand for Christmas and all that we stand for, it seems like a big contrast, but it really isn't. You know, we're telling the tale of liberty wherever we go. We're teaching the principles of freedom and the principles of salvation to everybody the best we can. And the whole goal is to help people understand that even in this modern world of confusion and criminal activity and crimes and disinformation and lies and confusions and perversions and whatever isms you want to, you can stand up and you can be counted and we can make a difference. We can have hope. We can solve problems. We can take courage, and that's what we hope for as the broadcast unfolds every day on your radio. Quick recap of yesterday's show. Trump dined with Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim as Mexican leaders seek better relations. Fascinating, huh? The mainstream press told you that Donald ruined everything with Mexico. He'll never get it worked out. Now they're coming to Donald saying, please, we want to work with you. We want to solve things. We want to have better relations. So the most influential man in Mexico, arguably one of the richest, most influential men behind the scenes in the world, Carlos Slim, sits down with President Trump. He's not even President Trump yet. He's not even gone through the inauguration process, which takes place January the 20th, 2017. Interesting how that's already started to happen. Wow. It's official. The Electoral College doubles down and votes for the Donald, defectors against Hillary big time. The liberals just can't comprehend what's happening. Hillary loses Electoral College vote 18 years to the day after her husband got impeached. Wow. Billionaire businessman Vincent Viola is Trump's choice for Secretary of the Army. Russian ambassador assassinated by a Turkey gunman that was an off-duty police officer. I guess he wouldn't even go through the metal detector, but they still let him in anyway. What gives with that kind of arrangement? Part of security detail, we die in Aleppo, you die here, was the phrases. Terror truck slams into Berlin Christmas market. That was a tragic scenario. Terrorism going on everywhere. Evil doing going on. We need to teach the principles of Jesus Christ, We need to follow the Prince of Peace. University offering classes on, quote, the problem of whiteness. Thomas Columbus wrote the piece. What a tragedy. Universities are literally teaching that, you know what, there's just a problem with you being white, me being white, as if there's anything we can do about it. All right. That was hour one. Hour two. We had our guest on, Mr. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, for trouble and commentary on a troubled world. I should say for commentary on a troubled world. Check out Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com in your inbox every Friday. CNN reports that it was so cold in Wisconsin, they only had one person show up to an electoral college protest. One person. Wow, and they act like everybody's for that, huh? Bogus claims of Russian influence in U.S. elections. We talked about that from Joel Skousen. We talked about disinformation leaks creating fake news everywhere. We talked about what's behind the anti-Russia attacks. We talked about the real atrocities in Syria. We talked about Assad's view of the war in Syria. We talked about more Trump picks and will Trump be able to make a big difference? We think he'll make some difference, but he won't turn anything around. He won't be able to make a big change. There's too many entrenched politicians. The globalists are too strong, and they will not let a change happen. They'll take us to war first. They'll destroy the economy first. Whatever it takes, they'll do. We've let wicked people get in high places, and you know what? We're in trouble now. But there is hope. We have a preparedness tip about wood stoves, which is very helpful. And there are ways to make a difference. Just because we can't turn it around without serious pain, sad to say, maybe even bloodshed, which I don't advocate for, but we can't turn it around, but we can trust in God. And we can do our very best. And God can and will bless us if we do what he's asked us to do. And one day the Savior Jesus Christ, our King, will return. That we're sure of. Merry Christmas. That's a recap. News the network refused to use for today starts now. Kirk Crosby with me. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas and buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I was liking that Feliz Navidad stuff that you had yesterday.
Go Feliz on. Navidad.
There you go. See, Kirk Crosby's going to sing you to sleep, folks. All right, the stock market's rocking and rolling and reeling, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, that's what they say, Sam. And, you know, I made exactly the same amount of money this year in the stock market as I have, well, ever since I've been born. You know, some folks are making some big money. In the stock market, I guess they say, Sam. According to one report, man, they made, let's see, what was the numbers? It's like...
$98 billion, $400 million.
Yeah,
dollars.
It's a lot.
And they say in value today, but that was what, yesterday, Kurt?
Yeah.
Or is that
yeah.
this morning?
And I think it's like 1.6, yeah, as far as I know, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
1.6 trillion, let's see, that's the billion section. It's kind of hard to keep track. So it looks
all right,
like 1.6 trillion.
Trillion. Hold on. 1 trillion, yeah. 600 billion dollars since Trump's election.
Yep. Yeah, stock market's pretty afraid of Trump, huh?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, the whole economy's going to tank under the Donald. That's what the fake news purveyors peddled. Wow. Now, it's hard to understand these numbers. I mean, they added $98 billion, $400 million yesterday. And $1 trillion, $600 billion since Donald Trump, since Trump's election. And they say an interesting phrase. Who wrote this, Kurt? They say at the end, I hope you got a piece of the action. Who wrote this piece, Kurt? Come on.
Yeah, it's a, you know, when you go to the Drudge Report, you'll see, you know, some of the different choices. And this is one they have you leading or taking to somebody who's a Twitter feed, basically. And that's what the Twitter guy said.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if those numbers are correct or not.
Yeah, me neither.
But I bring it up. You know, we bring it up though because it's tremendous. Though no one can debate that the stock market is on an absolute roller coaster high. All right, Kurt, you got to get with it,
buddy.
On a roller coaster
high.
That's
exactly right. Yeah, well, that's right. I thought you were going to follow it up with some roller coaster, you know, I guess phrase or something like that. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, that's what's going on. And, you know, some folks are getting a piece of the action. Some are just thinking, hey, maybe this will be... nice if we get less regulation and less big government, you know. People
well, everybody's hoping for that, sir. Will Donald deliver?
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking. And I've like tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking because my mom sends those things out. And she's like sitting here folding them up. And I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable.
Here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
All right, Kurt, you know who that is, my friend, that named that tune scenario?
Here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Come on, Kurt, you know who that is?
I'm not sure. I know it's not the Chipmunks.
No, that was quite offensive, Kurt. It's the Chipmunks. Well, come on.
Sorry. I know they do sing for
Bing
Christmas.
Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, my friend.
The Andrews Sisters. Oh, well, anyway, sorry.
Come on.
Bing Crosby,
the Andrews Sisters didn't make their fame on sexual innuendo and immodesty or anything, Kurt. They actually sang.
Just made it on singing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. They actually had talent.
Imagine
and,
that.
You know, got her done, and I commend them and everything. And anyway, just delightful Christmas carols. Speaking of Christmas carols, there's a couple of Christmas things really quick before we finish the stock market story that I want to get to.
Yes.
There's a pastor, Kurt. You know, like a preacher dude, a pastor.
Yeah.
And this Texas pastor, he went to the mall. And he's telling kids in the mall that Santa ain't real. Ooh. CBS News reporting. Do you want to respond to that, Kurt? You want to, you know, shed some light on it?
Maybe he hasn't seen that Miracle on 34th Street movie.
That's probably the problem.
You know, where they prove that Santa is real, you know?
Yeah, you could be right. That could be part of the problem for sure.
Yeah, he needs to watch that probably, you know, because, I mean, in the old movie, they use the federal government as proof that Santa exists because... And that Santa is actually the guy they have on trial because the federal government in the, the Postal Service delivers all this mail that's addressed to Santa, and they deliver it right to him. So, therefore, Santa exists, and he is Santa.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing is I got a pastor, Kurt, in the Mormon religion or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We don't call them pastors, though. We call them bishops. Anyway, so the leader of my congregation, a bishop, his name is Sam Beeson, by the way, if you want to go look up his information. He's also a well-known English teacher. He calls himself the grammar punk because he teaches high school and he teaches grammar and so he's kind of a grammar punk. And he runs around and does all this stuff. And the reason I bring this up is he's written some Christmas books, and one of them talks about Santa's first flight. And it's a kid's book, and it's got photos in it. It's kind of fun, and it talks about, hey, when Santa did his first flight, first off, the guy was super skinny. Because, you know, Kurt, he hadn't had all them Christmas cookies or anything yet. Didn't get to drink milk at everybody's house and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he was super thin, Santa. And nobody knew who he was, and he actually had a snowplow for his first flight, Kurt. And he had these, he didn't have reindeer, he had penguins, and, you know, slipping and sliding, and it didn't work very well, and people freaked out and were trying to arrest Santa. And, man, it was really rough on the guy. But eventually he got it together, and we know the story of Santa today. It's kind of a fun, you know, book. And then the next, one of the next books he writes, and I can't remember the name of this one, I don't have it offhand, but he compares Santa to Jesus Christ. And he talks about the symbolism in Santa. And not that we're making Santa a savior figure necessarily, but that we look for and emulate traits in our own lives as Santa does in terms of trying to be like the savior. And so, you know, Santa and Jesus Christ will both come in red. You know, he talks about they both come in the night. They both give gifts. They both are involved in selfless acts. Anyway, he goes through a bunch of stuff, and it's a pretty neat book. And I don't know that I would go along with this pastor completely and say, hey, Santa ain't real. You just run around and say that. I will say that, you know, it depends on your understanding. But I submit to you that there's Santa alive and well, Kurt. And I submit to you that, you know, as you gain knowledge about life, you gain greater understanding of truth. When you're a little kid, you only know a piece of the pie, right? When you get a little older, you get kind of a bigger picture view and you know the whole truth on something. And a little kid's understanding of Santa is partially the truth. And, you know, sometimes the facts don't really make sense. And so there you have it. It's all in the view. The question really is, you know, this pastor supposedly seeking truth, but does he have the right just to roll in and, you know, start yelling these things at the mall and disrupting everybody's lives. He would say it's a moral imperative, Kurt. I tend to think slightly different. That's just me. But anyway, those books are pretty neat, if you ask my opinion. Sam B says, if you want to get some Christmas books, you can check them out. I don't make a penny for saying all this. I just think they're pretty neat books. They're incredibly creative.
Yeah.
They're for the grammar punk, they're words, they're works of marvelous words, if you will. The wording and the phrasing is quite fun and educational and really points you to Christ. And that, to me, is the point of Christmas, folks. You know, and whether you use a Christmas tree, some say have pagan traditions in their roots. And, you know, people go off on all kinds of issues related to Christmas. You can go negative if you want to. I choose not to. I choose to think it's a time when I think about God, my Creator, Jesus Christ, His Son, my Savior. And it's a chance for me to think about how to serve others and try to do my best to follow Him, to be like Jesus Christ. And I know I got a long way to go. I realize I'm a poor imitation. I get it. But I can still try. And I can still take courage and take hope and do my very best. And that's what Christmas is about to me. All right. Total U.S. stock market, big time headlines. I just can't imagine adding $98.4 billion yesterday and $1.6 trillion since Donald Trump's win or since his election. Hope you got a piece of the action. Wow. Those numbers are startling. Any more on that piece, Kurt? That's just, the numbers are staggering.
Yep. I was looking it up, you know, I mean, and what I try to do, you know, after the program each day, then, when I have time, I try to look for different news pieces or whatever. And it's interesting how sometimes they'll only show up, you know, just one time, and you won't be able to find them again. But that was a basically a link on Drudge earlier. And now I don't see it anywhere. And, you know, it was taking you to a certain guy's Twitter feed. And, you know, now when I put in Google, I put in 1.6 trillion stock market. You know, you get basically stories about the early part of this year, January of 2016. Says Wall Street's disastrous start to 2016 has caused roughly 1.6 or 1 trillion to vanish from the stock market. So, you know, I guess you could say easy come, easy go. But at least you got to admit lately, this whole idea that they were telling us that, man, if Trump gets elected, you know, everything just, you know, going to go right down the toilet. At least based on the stock market, it's sure not showing that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of articles that don't confirm those numbers, but they do paint a similar picture, Kurt. CNN, for instance. Dow zooms over 1,200 points since Trump victory. Money CNN. What kind of dollars does that translate to? The stocks have had a reverse course since the Donald election. They were going down and struggling before that. Dow posts best week since 2011 after Donald Trump election win. I mean, there's all kinds of headlines that talk about this, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Last week, a leaked email from Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State revealed that it was common knowledge among U.S. intelligence agencies that ISIS was funded by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, foreign countries that have received huge amounts of military aid from the U.S. Saudi Arabia, in particular, has been implicated in supporting the terrorists blamed for the 9/11 attacks. Last week, Fox News reported that a definitive connection had been established between ISIS and the supposed U.S. ally Turkey, when a weapons factory was uncovered in part of the recently retaken ISIS stronghold of Mosul. The Islamic State group was manufacturing weapons in and around Mosul on an industrial scale, with products largely purchased in bulk from Turkey, according to a report published by an arms research group last Wednesday. The findings show that ISIS maintained a robust and reliable supply chain between Turkey and Iraq that allowed the fighters to produce tens of thousands of weapons, the London-based Conflict Armaments Research said. The group's researchers studied ISIS weapons found at manufacturing facilities and on the battlefield during the Iraqi operation to retake Mosul that is underway.
You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
As the de facto figurehead of the globalist establishment, Henry Kissinger embodies everything that Donald Trump's nationalist campaign treated with disdain, and it would be expected that Kissinger, like others of his ilk, would reciprocate that sentiment. Kissinger has made a number of prominent public statements in which he expresses support for Trump. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about the stock market this Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. They say, well, first off, the mainstream press peddled a bunch of fake news and said the stock market would melt under the Donald. Wow, the opposite's happened. Now they say it's going up way too fast. It's kind of interesting how the mainstream press does that.
I guess the guy's name said that was a guy named Charles V. Payne on Twitter. And, you know, basically he says, Charles V. Payne, and I don't know even who he is, but that's who Drudge pointed to when he says total U.S. stock market added $98,400,000 in value today and $1.6 trillion since Trump's election. Hope you got a piece of the action. So, hey, you know.
Yeah, now.
Don't know who
the
he
interesting
is. Charles
thing,
V. Payne.
Well, it's kind of easy to figure it out. What you got to do is figure out what the general stock market's worth.
Yeah.
You know, when they say that it rose 1%, for instance, you could say, all right, what's 1% of what? And, you know, you could figure this out. It just takes more time than we've got on the radio. The interesting thing to me is this. Whether those numbers are accurate or not, you got to just turn it into a question so that you can report it. That's one of the things that you do as a reporter. You say, you know what? I can't validate this number. But I know that every major news organization is reporting that, well, for example, they say Donald Trump's stock market slingshots to the positive, or they'll say stock market way up, or stock market's had its best week since 2011, or this or that. And they say all these different ways that mean the same thing. And the point that we're driving at here is the stock market is off the charts at an all-time high, Kurt, almost 20,000. news reporters that are against the Donald say it's going way too fast, Kurt. That was after they said that Donald would ruin it, right?
Yeah, I guess Charles V. Payne is a Fox Business Network contributor, and they say he's host of Fox's Making Money with Charles Payne. So, hey.
It's probably pretty credible, huh? Know.
Yeah. Well,
but I mean, all you got to say is this. Did the total stock market, that's what I'm kind of trying to teach here, Curtis. You can just turn it into a question and say, did the total U.S. stock market really add, right? And then, you know what, you're not making a claim. You're just kind of going, wow, here's the info. Whether the numbers are right or not, the point is, what, the stock market's had almost a 20% gain, Kurt? Wasn't it like at 16,000 on the Dow, and now it's close to 20,000 or something?
Yeah, the bottom line is, the way, I mean, it's going up. Now,
but
you know,
it's not
CNN
only going
money,
up, Kurt. It's going up like crazy.
Like a rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, the CNN money guys say, biggest threats to the Trump market rally. You know, I mean, that's Matt Egan's going to, you know, instead of getting all excited for it, then just get ready for the pain and suffering, because what goes up must come down. Yeah, they say the Trump rally on Wall Street has sent the Dow skyrocketing 1,600 points and within spitting distance from the 20,000 milestone. They say many market gurus are optimistic about 2017 as stocks could continue to rally for some time. However, the extreme bullishness masks the real risks that lie ahead as President-elect Donald Trump takes office. Now, you'd think they probably would bring up the fact that, well, we have, you know, we have bogus money. You know, we got to replace the Federal Reserve with constitutional currency. Well, they just don't fit that in their articles, Sam.
There's Kurt, there's only
no
so much space
for it. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What do you say? You know? Now, all I can tell you is, you know what? The stock market is rocking and rolling, and I agree that it's a little bit of a moral hazard for it to go up this fast, this quickly, Kurt, because the problem is you got to debate what value is, Kurt. Let's talk about a stock market value versus book value versus accounting value versus reality value. There's all kinds of ways to look at this, and I appreciate that the stock market's going up, and I think it really demonstrates, contrary to Michelle Obama, the real hope the nation and the world has about Donald's proposals. So to me, it's propped up on hope right now, and the real telltale will be if the Donald really delivers, Kurt. If he doesn't, I submit to you that there'll be a significant correction. If Donald really delivers on what he promises, though, Kurt, I think that the stock market can be sustained, even if I think it's bloated and belligerently manipulated by a moral hazard of government involved in every aspect of our society and economy. But I'm telling you that if Donald delivers on a significant portion of what he talks about, the stock market will sustain some highs. Eventually, you will see a correction and a crash, though, Kurt. Write it down. We just don't know when. But I find that story quite interesting indeed. Anything else on that?
For example, they got one guy they talk about, the CNN Money Boys, says Harry Dent warns the Dow is about to plunge to 6,000. I don't think I'd bet on that myself, but,
and here's the point, if the inside globalist money changers want that to happen, Kurt, it will.
Good point.
But we don't think they want that to happen because everything they're doing is to the contrary. Unless they really want to make the world tough for the Donald, and that really will be the battle. The more Donald tries to do that's right, that'll save America, that'll restore peace and prosperity and stability to the world, the more they'll attack him at every turn. There's no doubt about that. Let's be clear. By the way, a follow-up story, Kurt, to this incredible Dow Jones thing, and that the economy is just doing phenomenal, and that the feds under Miss Yellen had to increase interest rates. There's a story that doesn't really tell that same tale, Kurt, out of the Wall Street Journal. And it says this: percentage of young Americans living with parents rises to 75-year high. Did you see this?
No, I don't remember this one.
All right. Well, this is really interesting in my opinion. And then they say this: household formation by millennials lag behind other, quote, economic recoveries. High rents, mortgage standards cited as the reason why. Then it says almost 40% of young Americans were living with their parents and or siblings or other relatives in 2015. That's the largest percentage since 1940, they say, Kurt. Now, in America, they would say that's just horrible news. It really points to an economic problem, and I agree that it does. However, they say despite a rebounding economy and, quote, recent job growth, the share of Americans between the ages of 18 and 34 doubling up with parents or other family members have been rising since 2005. Now, remember how, Kurt, back in the day when the economy melted down, they kept telling you that the recession started in 2007, 2008 kind of range. And I said, oh, no, it's been a long time in coming. We knew this would happen. We saw the evidence. We saw it in the tea leaves. It's really started in 2005, and they denied it and laughed at me and mocked me and manipulated. Now they use this number that I used back in the day telling you the real story. They're using this number in a way that admits the truth but doesn't tell you the story. So they go, back in 2005 is when we started seeing this young adults living with parents and or siblings or other relatives and family members. It's at an all-time high now, and it started back in 2005, they say. Isn't that an interesting tie to where they denied? I mean, it was like, you know, George Bush is like, oh my gosh, we got an economic speed bump happening. And I'm like, you guys are off your rockers. This is a total meltdown. We literally reported banks failing every day for months, Kurt, almost a year plus. Several hundred mortgage institutions completely melted down. And, you know, George Bush is like, oh, there's a bump in the speed or a speed bump in the road. And then we're reporting this. And I'm like, this started in 2005. And they're like, oh, come on, that's bogus. Now they're admitting it, Kurt, in a backhanded way. They're admitting that I was right. Anyway, the point that I'm bringing up, those percentage of Americans living with parents rises to 75-year high. Now, here's the point that I want to make with this. I agree that it points to economic stagnation and problems. It points to the reality that we don't see near the rise in a prosperity that they want you to believe, even with the stock market rebounding and everything else, because you've got a moral hazard in government. And government's invested in and manipulated mortgage prices and mortgage rules for so long that family members are forced to live together because they can't afford, even in this booming economy, to live on their own. However, without government money and fiat money in the first place, it's not a bad thing for people to live together as families. Let me talk about that for a minute. We'll do it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published.
patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December.
All right, a cool sounding Christmas tune. Can you guess this tune, Kurt?
In a warmer town come summertime.
Randy Travis?
You're close. You're really close.
I don't know even the name. I don't remember hearing this one before. December, we'll be
fine. Come on now, Merle Haggard on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Got laid off down at the factory.
Yeah, I'm playing this for a reason,
Merle.
Ladies and gentlemen. And their timing's not the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
Heaven knows I've been working hard.
Hard.
Wanted Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. And my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way a lot of Americans are really feeling right now. And I know that's a sad scenario, a sad tale to tell, but you know what? The booming economy isn't what it seems. And there's a lot of folks that are now forced to live in the same households. Percentage of young Americans living with their parents rises to 75-year high, reporting the Wall Street Journal. So while everybody's telling you the economy's awesome, pardon the pun, it ain't. The reality is Americans cannot afford to buy their own home, and that's why they're with their families. However, even though that's an economic indicator of reality, a reality check, you know, this idea that everybody gets to be 18 years old and moves out and lives on their own is not a sustainable reality. It never has been. And through the world's history, that's not the way it has worked. Generations, multi-generations, have lived under the same roof for literally thousands of years. This is nothing new. And, you know, in America, we really don't respect our elders. And in Japanese cultures and Chinese cultures and other cultures, they respect their elders and they care for them. We don't do that either. We just simply say, hey, let grandma live in a 4,000 square foot home all by herself, or put her in the old folks home. This living together multi-generationally, Kurt, can bring us down to reality in terms of financial expectations and ability to afford homes and putting money in greater places than trophy homes. And there's a lot of value that can come from this if we just think about it correctly.
So I'm not preaching doom and gloom about the statistic, although I'm pointing out an economic reality that it doesn't bode well for the economy, as we currently expect our living to be. However, I will say that I think it's a blessing, and I think we can take care of our elderly, and we can find ways to decrease costs and be more efficient in our living standards and save money and have families strong again. And so hopefully some of the elderly, the grandmas and grandpas, can teach the youth about God and about frugal living and about some of these things. And there may be a blessing out of the statistic, is the whole point, Kurt. Am I looking at it all wrong?
Well, you know, like you said, you know, I mean, imagine if families spend a little more time together. That doesn't seem like a terrible thing. Now, I do understand that, you know, with costs up and things like that, you know, that maybe that means that, hey, everybody doesn't have their brand new home or their brand new car. But
it's okay,
when you
Kurt.
Really look at the whole picture, I mean, some of the happiest people that I know, they spend a lot of time with their families. They even, in some cases, live with their grandparents and their family and their maybe another family, because a lot of these homes or trophy homes we end up having certainly can take a lot more people fitting in there, you know, Sam?
Well, and economically, when you think about it from an air conditioning point of view, a heating point of view, you know, everybody wants a big house so they can be together, but yet everybody's like, oh my goodness, I couldn't live with them. And we got a pride problem and a selfishness problem, and we need to kind of humble ourselves and learn to get along. You know, it's amazing. People say they can't live together now, but yet they did for their whole growing up years, their whole lives. And it seems to me that we ought to have a new view right now. You know, a new young husband and wife are trying to make it, and they got to have somebody watch their baby so both of them can work just so they can pay the bills. The bills of living by themselves, the bills of having a baby, the bills of out-of-control taxes, the bills of, and it just goes on and on. Got to have the same car mom and dad worked for 30 years to get now. Got to, you know, go on vacation every year from the second you get married on honeymoon at great expense to, you know, all through your life. And these things aren't reality, Kurt. Most people have never been able to do that in their entire lives. Most people are grateful for, you know, an appropriate shelter and food and clothing and fuel to keep themselves warm. And then if they had all that and a few loved ones around them, they were happy. Generations were satisfied with that. Now, I'm not suggesting that we sell out and be less satisfied or less aspirational. But what does ambition get you? Does it get you a big empty house to live alone? Does it get you being in debt to your eyeballs? Or does ambition get you love and family and the things of home and hearth and the things that matter most? See, where do we take ourselves with this newfound wealth and knowledge and capabilities and automation and things that make our lives so easy? You know, we don't have to spend our time just going out to get fuel and then going out to stay warm and cook, and then to go out and get the food to cook after you got the fuel. And then, you know, we don't have to spend all our time doing that manual labor stuff. We've changed it for automation and electricity and modern appliances. It's wonderful, Kurt. But what have we done now with our time? Have we turned it over to service and to love and to gratitude and to things that we could do that are more elevated or at a higher plane? Or have we just morphed into a selfish bunch of folks that, well, many people hate to live alone. They're sad to live alone. They're depressed and concerned. And then we don't take care of them and nobody comes over anymore. And what have we done to the elderly with this idea that everybody should have a home? You should have a trophy home by the time you turn 18. And a loan to go to school. And this unrealistic reality, or I would say moral hazard, fake reality perpetuated by government, has got to stop. Anyway, the sooner we get that done, Kurt, the better off I think we'll be. And so anyway, they pitched this statistic as being a real horrible thing. And I'm not agreeing. I mean, I'm agreeing that it's an economic hit and the economy isn't doing as well as we think it is, but I'm not really agreeing with their assessment of it all. I kind of think different about it, if you will. All right, Kurt, you got a football team boycotting, huh?
Well, yeah, Sam, this was interesting to me. You know, there was a number of stories about this. University of Minnesota, I mean, imagine...
Where'd you get this
you
one,
talk
by the way?
About... This is a Liberty News Daily right. piece, by the way.
Just had to point that out. You know?
But it's interesting to me that, man, if you want to drop the whole economy, man, I'll tell you what, this would be a way to do it. You know, you get... boycotts by the football players of bowl games, and well, there goes America, you know what I mean? But apparently University of Minnesota, by the way, they're the Gophers. I think it's a kind of cool name, you know, I mean, you know, wouldn't you like to grow up to be a Gopher? But anyway, they briefly threatened to boycott all future games, and especially they were talking about the bowl game they were scheduled to play in. And, you know, what is, I guess you could say, at the center of the whole problem was apparently after the first game this year, a number of the players got together and they were having a little too much fun, if you will. And apparently some girl was, well, involved, and there were a number of players who... participated in a rape of this individual, and you know, now the players say that, well, it was all consensual and all that kind of stuff, and yet the you know, the girl, you know, doesn't agree, and yet you don't really see much comment in any of the stories, whether it's a Liberty News Daily piece or the other ones, in that, hey, what should have really been going on? Should have really eliminated the whole alcohol and drugs from the party, as well as not been doing things that shouldn't be done between, well, unmarried individuals, Sam. But they didn't have place for any of that. They do talk about what's called the Federal Anti-Sex Discrimination Act. It's what they call Title IX. And, you know, bottom line in this story is that these individuals were ticked off because somebody wasn't going to get to play football. Not really talking about, well, how we shouldn't have been doing any of those things, whether we're football players or not, you know.
Amen to that. What a tragedy, ladies and gentlemen. Less alcohol, less drugs, less staying up at night, less partying. More accountability, more turning people to their hearts and minds to the Almighty Creator would be our recipe for success, would be our remedy for such ailments, if you will. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, and LibertyNewsRadio.com are award-winning websites. Please donate and get involved in the solutions today, would you please? Merry Christmas, and we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. This nation shall endure.